How can each of us make an impact for Jesus Christ? I mean, that's what we want, right? That's what we're here for. I mean, I know we don't always think about that because we trusted in Christ as Savior. We have eternal life. We're saved and saved forever. But what about every day? What about our lives? Do we want to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ? We have the Bible. We have spiritual gifts. We have each other in the body of Christ. But then there's a problem because we have a fallen capacity, a fallen nature, which we call the flesh, the old man, the bent to sin. How are we going to have victory? Because we have a natural pull to sin. We saw that the moment we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, that something great happens. We're a new creation in Christ. And then if you remember the little chart, we showed that there's the body, and then there's the conscience and the soul, which is the part that relates to the world around us, and the flesh, which is the bent to sin. But when we trust in Christ, we become spiritually alive. That's human spirit. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and now we're alive. And then notice the Holy Spirit comes to indwell in us, and that happens at the moment of salvation. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we have this great truth that not only do we have a bent to sin still there, but we actually have the Holy Spirit who is the power to live, and he indwells in us. And so how can we have this victory? Well, it all goes back to what we call the filling of the Holy Spirit. And so what we're going to see is we start seeing the ministry of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. We started this last time, but this is the filling of the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit deals with our service, not our salvation. Indwelling of the Holy Spirit deals with salvation. He comes to live in us. Filling of the Holy Spirit is the empowerment, the ability to serve, the ability to do what God wants us to do. So filling of the Holy Spirit involves a lot of things, and we're going to see it as it all fits together this morning. There's a command here in Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to look at verse 18. What does it say? It says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation." He says, don't get drunk with wine, but in contrast, be filled with the Spirit. There's a command, which is to be filled with the Spirit. And to be filled with the Spirit means to be empowered by the Spirit. And the way it's written in the Greek, and we talked about this last week, it means keep on being filled with the Spirit. The idea is a continuous. It's called an imperative in the Greek, but the imperative has this idea of keep on doing. There's an imperative in the Greek that says start doing something, and then there's an imperative in the Greek that means keep on doing it. This is the one that says keep on doing it. The implication is you're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. We would say it's the idea of keeping on being empowered by the Holy Spirit. When we think about living for Christ, if you think about teaching a Sunday school, if you think about just talking to people, if you think about going through life, if you think about using your spiritual gifts, if you think about any aspect of how you live as a Christian, it's got to be God's power through you. That is the filling of the Holy Spirit. So that's why it is so important. That's when we put this one the first. Now, as we said a while ago, why is this so important? It's because this is how God works through us to carry out his plans. If God wants people to come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, how does he plan to get the message to people so they can put their faith in Christ? How's he going to do it? He's going to use who? Us. How are we going to do it? God's power through us. See, God's power, the Holy Spirit, is the power in which God uses us to carry out his ministry. And so that's the thing we got to think about. Also, it's so important that we be filled with the Spirit, because this is necessary for our growth. Now, we all know this, and we've talked about this many times. When a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, they're born again, they become a child of God. In a lot of places in the Bible, it calls us babies. When you first trust Christ, it says, as a newborn babe, desire the sincere miracle of the word so that you may grow. So he calls us babies. And then Paul talks about in Corinthians, he says, I really wanted to talk to you, but I had to talk to you as babies. He's saying that when we first trust Christ as Savior, we're like little babies, but the plan is that we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Well, the method, the plan, the means by which we grow is the power of the Holy Spirit in being indwelled and being controlled by the Holy Spirit. We've said this many times that time and control are the two things that help us mature as a believer. It takes time. You can be spiritual the moment you're saved, because being spiritual means being controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's being filled with the Spirit. But being mature takes time. It takes time over a period of time that we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to think about this, because we talked about it last week, but this is the key. There are two ways that we can live our lives. We can be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's called spiritual. We can be controlled by the flesh. That's called carnal. And it can happen in a second. You can be spiritual, walk going through life, being spiritual, being controlled, being filled with the Holy Spirit, serving God. And then there's a temptation or something could come and you could sin. You could all of a sudden, in a sense, do something that is wrong. And then you're carnal because you're controlled by the flesh, the bent to sin that's in you. And it can go back and forth. And so a mature Christian can one minute be spiritual, one minute be carnal. An immature Christian, a brand new Christian, can be spiritual one minute, carnal the next minute. So we're talking about how in the world are we going to grow and make an impact for Christ and serve Him? Well, we need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, which means to be filled with the Spirit. And that's how we're a spiritual person. If we're controlled by the flesh, we are sinful. That's what it boils down to. Now, let me show you the chart again, just to remind you. This is a believer. We have a body. We have a soul, which is, relates to the world around us. We have a conscience, which actually tells us right from wrong. We have the flesh, which is the natural bent to sin. It does not go away. It does not let up. It does not get weaker. In fact, it seems that the longer you grow as a Christian, the more you grasp how wicked you really are. Paul says, I find this principle that in me, the one who wants to do good, there is evil dwelling in me. That's Romans chapter 8. The evil that dwells in us is the flesh. Now, the great truth is you're born again, you become a new creation in Christ. That's the human spirit. You're born as a child of God, and you have the Holy Spirit, God, living inside of us. That's the thing. And so we can either, let me see if I can get this, we can either be controlled by the flesh or we can be controlled by the Spirit. That's why you remember Galatians, it says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the battle going on. There's a battle inside of us. And let me just put this up for you. In Galatians 5, it says, walk in the Spirit. He says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit is the same as being filled with the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit is the same as being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So you and I, on a daily basis, what we're supposed to do is go through life being controlled, being filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, he uses this contrast. He says, just like a person who's drunk with wine, and he says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. He said, when people are drunk with wine, they're controlled by the wine. And you see a person and you can say, look at that person. They're going, how you doing? You know, and you can say, oh, that guy's drunk. Look, he's controlled by wine. He says, listen, and don't be controlled by wine, but be filled, be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So when you're living in the power of the Holy Spirit, what comes out? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what comes out in your life. That's called the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so when he says in Galatians, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Galatians 5:17, he says you need to be controlled by the Spirit because there's a battle going on. He says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh, they're contrary one to another. And so you may not do the things you wish. Every one of us in this room, you have a battle inside of you. Now, let me say it this way. Every one of us in this room who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have this battle. You have the flesh that wants to be contrary to God. Romans chapter 8 says, not subject to God, never wants to be. That's what it says. And then you've got the Holy Spirit, who is actually God inside of you, empowering you to live righteously and godly. We're going to get to it in a little bit in Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 12 says, talking about, that the grace of God has appeared to bring salvation to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously and godly in this present age. How do we do that? We do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're supposed to live righteously and godly. So there's this battle. Every one of us. You know what I'm talking about. None of us in here are playing any kind of game. Every one of us, when we don't want to, we sin. When we want to, we sin. When we want to walk in the Spirit, sometimes we do. Sometimes we want the Spirit, sometimes we don't. Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. What a wretched man that I am. He actually says, times that I want to live righteously for God, I live in the flesh. And he says, what a wretched man that I am. And so if Paul dealt with it, you deal with this, I deal with this. We deal with this every day. And so the battle is to live righteously and godly. Now, how in the world are we going to walk in the Spirit? You know, there's all kinds of people say, well, there's some kind of mystical thing. It's not. In fact, the bottom line, there are really two things that if we do, we're going to be okay. Okay, here it is. Number one, how do we walk in the Spirit? Number one, we deal with sin. If there's any sin in your life, what do you do with it? What do? You confess it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whenever you're going through life and you recognize in your life that there is a sin, there's something that's wrong, something that you know is contrary to the Bible, you have a conscience and you have the Word of God. And basically the conscience is the Word of God, because the conscience is the law written on your hearts according to Romans chapter 2. So you have a conscience that says that's wrong. You have the Word of God that says that's wrong. That any time you're going through life and you recognize that you got something wrong, whether it's a bad thought, it's something bad that you did. When I say bad, something that's wrong, you need to what? Confess it right then. He's faithful and just to do what? Forgive and to cleanse. You want to be in fellowship with God. When you're walking in the Spirit, you are in fellowship with God. There's a second thing that goes with this, and that is to obey the Scripture. As you're going through life, live your life based on the Bible. That's why you got to know the Bible, so you can know it and apply it. So if you woke up in the morning and you say, well, today I want to live right now in the power of the Holy Spirit. Imagine as you're coming to church, you're not saying, I want to come to church living in sin. You say, I want to come to the body of Christ and meet with fellow believers, and I want to be in fellowship with God. I want to be in fellowship with others. I want to be walking in the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, we confess any sin that we might have when you wake up. If there's sin, if there's anything in your life that you know is wrong, is bad, deal with it. Confess it. He's faithful and just to forgive you. And then seek to live by the Word of God. It's not some mystical thing. It's living by the Scripture. There are things that are right and things that are wrong, and you seek to live in God's power by those things. That's the only way we can have this victory. And that's the only way we can be filled with the Spirit. And the Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you're being Spirit-filled, you're not living in the flesh. Now, their temptations can come, your flesh can pull you, things can, and if you do, sometimes there's a temptation. And by the way, temptation is not sin. If you're living in the Spirit, let's say you're doing something and there's this temptation suddenly, that doesn't mean you've sinned. Temptation is pulling you to sin. Jesus was tempted in all points yet without sin. So temptation's not sin. Just because you get tempted doesn't mean you've sinned. Now, when you follow through, that's when you sin, and you've quit walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, and now you're living in the flesh. I want you to understand that there's really two ways to sin. I wish there was just two little ways to sin, but what we see is there's two big ways, and there's the idea of commission, that is doing what is wrong, and omission, which is not doing what we're supposed to do. A lot of people don't think about that. When you think about committing sin, you think about, well, you're not supposed to lie, you're not supposed to cheat, not supposed to steal, not supposed, and so you commit sin when you lie, cheat, or steal. But there's an omission, an aspect that you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Are you supposed to study the Bible? Are you supposed to share your faith? Are you supposed to walk worthy the calling which you've been called? Are you supposed to open your home? Are you supposed to love people? Are you supposed to do those things? If you are, then if you don't do those are omission, and that's sin as well. And we don't think about it as much because we say, okay, well, I haven't studied the Bible in 3 years. Does that mean that I've been disobedient in that? Well, I'd probably say, yeah. But anyway, see, what I'm saying is that's a little bit harder. You know when you lie, but you could say, how many days do I need to go without studying the Bible before I'm disobedient in that? It really gets hard. I mean, it really is hard. Let me talk to you about something that the Bible says this. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. That's in Ephesians 4:30. That's what the commission sins. That's where the grieve the Holy Spirit is when you do things that you know are wrong, and it grieves God inside of you, the Holy Spirit. So when you sin, knowing that you're sinning, in the Bible, there are two kind of aspects of sin. One's called presumptuous sins, and in the Old Testament, it's kind of weird. It called it sins I couldn't help it. It's the idea of, say you walk along and you see something, and then you do that, and you didn't plan to do that. It happened. Now, a presumptuous sin is, I know it's wrong, I'm going to do it anyway. That's called a presumptuous sin. David writes in Psalm 32 and 51, keep me from presumptuous sins. So if you have a child and they do something wrong and they didn't plan to do it and they didn't openly disobey you, they just did it, you deal with them one way. If you tell them, do not do that, and they look at you and say, I'm going to do it anyway, you deal with them a different way. How do you think your Heavenly Father deals with you? When you sin, couldn't help it, so to speak, it's going to be different than presumptuous sins. And so what we want to do is, he says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lives in us, and when we sin in our lives, and everybody does it when? Every day. Did you say all the time? Okay, somebody put a mark on this lady. I mean, she's doing it all the time. She's sinning all. No, but the truth is we all sin, and we sin so much. And we say, oh, I don't want to, and I want to live righteously and godly. So be careful, because whenever we do things we know are wrong, that's called commission sins. And it's easier to see those. And then there's called omission sins, which is quenching. He says, do not quench the Spirit. That's sins of omission. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. The idea is that we're supposed to be doing things, but we sort of put the fire out when we don't do what we're supposed to do. So we grieve the Spirit when we openly sin and rebel. We quench the Spirit when we just don't do what we're supposed to do. So I want you to think about that. That's where we are. So every one of us in this room, you have God inside of you that know Christ. We have God inside of us. And he's the power that we can live. And we can either live in the flesh or we can live in the Spirit. And the goal is that as much as possible, we live in the Spirit. And if we can sin, we confess it. We live by the Bible and we do those kind of things. Now, here's the deal. What are the characteristics? I'm just going to throw this out. I want you to think about it. We only have about 3-4 minutes left. But what are the characteristics of a person who's being filled by the Spirit? Okay, the Bible tells us a couple of things. First of all, the characteristics of our lives when we're filled by the Holy Spirit, number one, is that we have a Christ-like character. Romans 8:29, his plan is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. As we are living in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, and we produce, or let me say this, produced in our lives is what we call the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what comes out of our life. If you're loving and you have peace, love, joy, peace, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness, self, if those are coming out in your life, you could say, that's not natural. What's natural is the flesh. This is supernatural. We're not supposed to live natural lives. We're supposed to live supernatural lives. We can live supernatural lives when we're lived by the Holy Spirit. You could say, well, those people are hard to love. That's right. That's right. But you can't love them yourself. You have to love them in God's power. Well, how can I have joy when everything's going wrong? Well, that's because the Holy Spirit, joy, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So you can't have joy just as a person, but God, the Holy Spirit, through you can have joy. How can I have peace when everything seems to fall around me? He says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. So you start going through the fruit of the Spirit and realize that when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you're a different person. You have Christ-like character. There's a second thing, and that is you have the power to serve. Galatians 5:16, it's not the flesh but the Spirit. Apart from God, we can do nothing. This is our relationship to God, and this is how we connect with him. We're in fellowship with him, and we connect with him, and we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, and so we can serve. Walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He never tells us to live the Christian life in our power, because you can't do it. He tells us to live the Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a third thing, which may surprise you if you've never seen this. Third thing, when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, there is worship and praise. I want you to see it. Look at Ephesians 5. This is why I left us in this passage, Ephesians 5. Look what he says. Do not get drunk with wine. Don't let wine, how wine controls people, that's disobedience. But in contrast, get controlled by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And then look what comes out in our lives when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms, that's songs, and hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father, to Christ, to God, even the Father. What comes out in our lives? It's worship and praise. Listen, when you come together on a Sunday morning and you don't want to sing, you need to ask yourself a question. Am I being filled with the Spirit? If I want to say, I don't like that song. What's wrong with you? You don't like a song about Jesus? Good night. This is, you're coming together in the power of the Holy Spirit with a whole group of fellow believers to lift up our voices in praise and adoration of the Savior and the world. And a person sits there and says, I don't like that song. I said, well, just go on outside, confess your sins, get back in fellowship, and come back in and worship with us. My gracious, there are a million songs that talk about Jesus Christ. And we love him and we lift him up. And if you're sitting there going, let's go another one. Let's sing another one. That's what's supposed to happen. And last but not least, look at this one. Look at this one. Submission to one another. Look what he says. Let me go back to verse 20. This is being controlled by the Holy Spirit. He says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. When you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, you don't put yourself first. You put others first. That's why you have the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law that produces that as produced by the Holy Spirit. And so the characteristics of a person filled with the Spirit is a Christ-like character, the ability to serve, worship and praise, and submission to one another. Now, time is up, so let me just give you this real quickly. Application. Let's live our lives in control of the Holy Spirit. Realize that we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And what we do is we deal with sin. We're not grieving or quenching the Spirit. We're obeying the Word. And that's how we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, giving honor and glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ.